Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the TMGS. It is the Michael Gates Show broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And welcome. The time is now 6:04 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:04 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is March the 23rd, 2024. And here in Atlanta, it's a beautiful day. It really is. It's a little windy, kind of cool. Sun is out, but it's a nice day. We got a little rain, which I mean, I know sometimes it's crazy, but we don't want to hear about what your weather's like over here. It's snowing. Well, I'm sorry, you chose to live where you live. You know, I try to live a place of where I experience every season, and that's what Georgia brings you. Again, welcome to the show, and we have some topics and we have some stories we're going to share with you. Hopefully, you'll chime in into the chat room. And again, let me give you, for the first time, let me let you know that you can chime in and call the number here at 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. If you're not already calling in, make sure when you call in, you have a question or comment, whatever, hit the number one on your phone, and I'll open up your mic. Okay, but if you're not a talkative type person, you can go to the chat room, and you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. Need I say it again? Of course. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. All right, you guys. What are we going to talk about? Of course, we're going to get into the political field because this thing is just so out of hand, in my opinion, so out of hand, so crazy of what's happening in the political world. And many people are having a blind eye of what's going on. Again, I'll say, in my opinion, it's been turned into a show. I'm going to open up the mic to my co-host, the one and only Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis, is going to join us in a moment. But I want us to talk about that, and then we're going to go into something because weekend I was in Birmingham, Alabama, and I was with many friends of mine because I used to live in Birmingham. Okay, some of you guys don't know that, but I used to live in Birmingham, and I worked there, and this, that, and the other, and, you know, many friends there. And a friend of mine said, "Hey, I want to, you know, take you around." I'm like, "Okay." So we went around and said, "You know what? I haven't seen such and such in a long time. Let's just go by their house." And we went to their house. It hurt my freaking heart to see their living condition. It really did. It hurt my heart. I mean, I was like, Lord, when I think of it, I'm like, how is this man living like this? And then when I was told the situation and was told how it got to that point and continues to be that at that point, it made me mad, made me upset. And I could, you know, and if anybody really knows me, I'm the type of person, I can't just walk away. I can't just say, oh, well, you know, let it be. I'm not that type of person. So we're going to get into that, and I'm going to share more of the story later on the show. But in the meantime, in between times, I want to open the mic to my right hand, does all the research, handles a lot of things, knows the political field. Trust me, she does. I would not be surprised if some individuals who have a different point of view chime in. You're more than welcome to do. It is the one and only Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
Hey, good afternoon. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. By the way, I have to say, I'm sitting outdoors for a moment because, I mean, this beautiful weather out here. So you might hear the wind blow and this, that, and the other. But if it gets too annoying, I will go indoors. But it's beautiful here in Atlanta. Wouldn't you agree? You live here.
Yes, I agree. It's a very nice day. I haven't really been out too much today. I had a lot to do, but I kind of canceled out because I was tired. And then someone called me 10 minutes prior to the show to tell me he wants me to do the political side. Which is
who was that? Who was that?
And
before I do something like this.
So,
be honest, you are up to court. I mean, you know, who else is better than me? You. And the thing is that we're, as I said to you, for all the listeners to know, I said, you know what? Janet has her point of view. Janet is sometimes incorrect, but a lot of times correct. I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and let you do this. Because you know this better than I do. You follow it more than I do.
I don't think I'm incorrect because anything I talk about, I can back it up.
Not
and
that you were incorrect.
Okay,
I said on certain things, you could be incorrect on certain things, but when it comes to politics, okay, I said on certain things, I didn't say on everything. I said on certain things, Okay. On this, I have to put the ball in your court.
I mean, there's no problem. But okay.
So let's jump start to what is really going on right now.
Let me handle it.
I was going to ask you a question and see what your response will be. Former President Donald Trump has until what, Monday, to come up with the money. What do you know about this whole situation about that?
Well, he's been. I wasn't planning on talking about that, Donald Trump. But I'll just let you know what I know. He's been trying to get a loan from various banks and people that he knows, and haven't been able to really come up with any money because he has till Monday to come up with it. The money that he owes in the Southern District, I mean, in New York from that trial. Now, the issue is they said that from his media, I think it's called Truth Social, he was supposed to be some kind of deal he was making with somebody to buy his portion. I don't know if that's going to come into fruition yet, but they were talking about it today and yesterday on various news stations like MSNBC and like CNN, and that's the only two that I really checked out yesterday. But they were talking about him trying to come up with this money because you don't want to go into default. And the money I'm talking about is the $450,000 that he's supposed to owe plus interest that he has to pay up because he lost that case. Yeah. Now,
okay,
do you know anything about
What I'm saying is that the things that I'm looking at that I think that everybody should have a little bit of concern about here is that he's had business ties overseas with people that are, let's be realistic, some of our adversaries.
Can I finish
for a moment, and I want to let you, you know, chime in. You know, we do business with a lot of our adversaries. We do business with China. China is a dictatorship. We know this, right? And this is the whole thing I'm trying to ask people when they come on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you have a former president who says that, you know, our other adversaries like Putin and like the president of North Korea, I believe them and everything, and you have money invested in those countries. So the question is, if you're in a financial bind and no one in the United States is going to help you out, but people in other countries who are adversaries to a certain degree will come and offer to help you financially, isn't that a warning sign, or better yet, not a warning sign, but that's problematic for the United States?
Very, very problematic, and the government is waiting to see if any of this money is going to come from, even if they try to filter it through a company, they're looking at where this money is coming from, because if Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, that can make him be compromised where he is beholden to someone. It could be Russia, it could be Saudi Arabia. You know, it could be Korea, North Korea. But they're looking into it. They're waiting to see where this money is going to come from.
Exactly. Okay. So you answered the question that I wanted, and I'm hoping some of these individuals who would chime into this show trying to defend Donald Trump look at the situation he's in. And you're going to tell me that that's not a possibility? I hope you all are listening. I hope mm-hmm. you call in and hit the number one and tell me that that's impossible, because it is possible.
Well,
and it is,
I wanted to
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Michael, I really wanted to talk about something else. That's not what I wanted
but that is a very important. I want you to talk about something else, but that hit my mind. You know how I think is that where it hit me, and I'm like, you know, we have to remember he has a cozy feeling with our adversaries, individuals who have been adversaries before he was president.
That's right.
And even after, that's right. He still agrees with them. He still believes in them. He said, do what you want to Putin. Do what you want to Ukraine.
Right.
It's like, hold on, man. Are you really thinking this shit out? But I'm going to go ahead and leave
yeah,
the mic
but
to
they,
you.
They are looking to see if there's a back channel deal going on, or, you know, mm-hmm. They're really going to look at it, because it can, we don't want somebody in the White House who's been compromised to a foreign company, especially an adversary.
That are handling their financial issues. Helping them with their issues within the court of law. So let's move on and go to let's talk about what's happening now in the political field outside of that that you shared with me. Go ahead and let the listeners know.
Well, this was an article on NBC News, and I'll read the article, and then I'll give my opinion, and we can go from there afterwards. But this was about Lev Parnas. It was ex-Giuliani's associate. He testified allegations against the Bidens that was false and spread by the Kremlin. When he started working for Giuliani in 2017, I think it was, but they really didn't start looking into doing something for Trump to get dirt on Biden, where they went over to Ukraine to talk to several people, some were part of the Kremlin, to try and get dirt on Joe Biden. So the article is an interview with NBC News after his testimony that he gave on the impeachment inquiry hearings are pushing the same Russian narrative and propaganda that they were doing all along, ever since Trump was in office. You know, and he said they're still doing the same thing. And he also called out certain people on the House and the Senate that is still working, trying to get dirt on Joe Biden. And it's all false. So, Parnas slammed former President Donald Trump and his associates for pushing what he said were false allegations against the Biden family during the House Oversight Committee's hearings Wednesday at in the GOP, President Joe Biden. Parnas, a Ukraine-American businessman who worked closely with former Trump attorney Giuliani in 2018 and 2019, has tried to find damaging information about the president, appeared as a witness at an invitation of the committee from the Democrats alongside with Hunter Biden's former business associate, his name is Tony Bobulinski, and Jason Giuliani.
Okay.
The American people have been lied to by Donald Trump, Giuliani, and various cohorts and individuals in the government and media positions, Parnas said in his opening statement. They created falsehoods to serve their own interests, knowing it would undermine the strength of our nation. Parnas called out Trump allies in Congress, such as former Representative Devin Nunes, a Republican of California, and Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican in Wisconsin, as well as some prominent right-wing media figures for spreading disinformation about the Bidens. You know, I mean, he even, I'm not through, but he even mentioned on MSNBC, you know, Tucker Carlson, you know, he was naming several people that were spreading the false information that we all know about and we've read ourselves, you know. But he really talked about how people were in a cult and they don't wake up until something drastic happens, like being imprisoned. He said he got in prison in 2018 because of the stuff that he was doing. And a lot of it, they claimed he was supposed to have taken some money, you know, and was trying to buy some marijuana. I don't know anything about that story, but I know for a fact that when he was in prison and Trump gave him some of his lawyers to help him, well, Parnas found out that that lawyer wasn't trying to help him. They were trying to use him as a scapegoat. So he broke away from them. And I also recalled him being on Rachel Maddow one night, and he was telling how, you know, they really was trying to use him as a scapegoat. He showed pictures of him being with Donald Trump at the White House, at the Washington Hotel, you know, them shaking hands, taking pictures together, holding, you know, arms on shoulders, you know, so you can't say that you don't know this person. But that was the first thing Trump said. He didn't
okay,
know.
So hold on. I have to intervene now. And I agree that I have taken pictures with people, okay, and I don't really know who they are. They're like, you know, and to be honest, I mean, I was really like,
I don't know who it is.
No, listen to what I'm saying for a minute. I was really surprised at first that, hey, can I get your photo and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, cool, you know, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that person. You know, they know who I am. You know, I'm just an everyday guy, but it's like, oh, yeah, I know you do the show, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know them, right? So just giving respect to that. But then again, if there's many photos, so let's look at the whole thing of where, what is his name, the one who committed suicide in prison, that had the island with all the, you know, and with the, you know, dealing with the women and all that type of stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about right now. I can't think of his name. But, a lot of them.
Okay. But Donald Trump knew him. Many other people knew him.
Yeah.
They may not knew what he was doing.
Even Prince Edward. A
lot of people in the entertainment industry, a lot of people in politics knew this man. They were part of at different events that he had. How is it possible that a person doesn't get a feeling that something's not right about him? Something in the buttermilk game. If you've been friends with this person, you should realize, or you should kind of keep on something here. I mean, am I right for saying that? I know I am, and then we see this stuff happening all the time. In just, you know, in politics, in everyday life, you know, that where you have politicians who deal with folks and then they find out that those individuals that they're friends with are actually criminals doing something different. And then they throw them underneath the bus, and then we, as the American public, have to make a decision of who do we believe.
Right, right. And a lot of times people... Right.
Who do
a
we
lot
believe?
Of times, right.
The person that we've known all the time, or the person that was in the background, that person who we've known all the time and we believed in, you know, all of a sudden throws the person who was in the background. We have to turn around and say, well, we're going to believe the person we've always seen. But the person in the background is the one who's telling you the damn truth in most cases.
Yeah. Right. Or you get set up. Like the lawyer, the female lawyer that was working for Trump, who got, you know, indicted, and she pled guilty, and she cried when she read her confession. That's what I felt it was, you know. Yeah, but, you know, and this was in Georgia. But she said if she had have known then what she knows now, she wouldn't have never gone that way. You know, she just was stupid enough to sign a paper saying that all the evidence, all the material and everything was out and there was nothing else there when it was not true. So she got set up.
So is it safe to say that, I mean, because, and for you listeners, that are listening to the show, all we're doing is this, just trying to understand who's the law, who's above the law when it comes to political figures. And apparently,
we shouldn't.
Well, let me finish my thought.
We should not have two different.
Let me finish my thought. Let me finish my thought for a moment, okay? I don't believe the bullshit. See, keep in mind that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are what, 2.5, maybe 3.5 years apart.
What the hell?
Okay, I don't know what happened there. Can you all hear me? Okay, let me go ahead and put this mic here.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know what happened. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. I had to hang up and call back in.
That's one of those things with Blog Talk, and I'm going to have a conversation with them this week.
Oh my God!
There was people here on the board, and everything dropped, and I'm not happy with this.
Yes.
Gotta do something different. Okay, so let's keep rolling. yeah. Okay. So where was
nothing but the devil,
saying,
Mike. Nothing but the devil.
Yeah. Ain't no problem. But anyway, I'm saying it where, you know, when you look at what's happening here, as far as the ages of between the two, they're only 3.5 years different, if that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's an issue. Their health and this, that, and the other. Give us a little insight into what's happening now with the Speaker of the House, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, they just removed one speaker back in October. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to remove another speaker because it's not going a Republican way. And let's look at the fact that where you had Republicans and Democrats agreeing on something, and then all of a sudden some individuals want to say, well, no, we don't want to do that. Then they want to shut down the government, but now they're okay with going ahead and spending other money. What bothers me, Jen, is this, that where you're working on the American public's money. See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You can't shut down the government, because if you shut down the government and you're talking about, people have a job and this, that, and the other. If you shut down the government, then people are not getting paid. You have
True.
To figure out a way. Right. You can't shut down the freaking government and people can't work and can't get paid. So, hold on, and I'm going to let you respond. But their ass will still get a damn paycheck is what pisses me off, is that where when they say, we'll shut down the government, you're still getting your fucking paycheck. Excuse my language. That's what pisses me off. And the everyday Joe who works in the government is not going to get paid. But you still do? How does that shit work? I don't get it.
Some of the jobs in the government is very important. I know someone who works for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. That's the nuclear reactor. And you're going to mess with people's jobs where they can't get paid when they're there to protect, to make sure everything runs smoothly? I don't get it either. We should not have a two-justice system. You got one for the very rich and you got one for the everyday Joe. It shouldn't be that way. If you commit a crime, you do the time.
Now you get my concern here, because if you look at it where we all travel, and if we travel by plane, when you have an issue with the individuals who monitor the planes, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, we have that.
The people that's in the tower that monitors the plane and tell them when to land and when to take off and, you know, to make sure they're not going to run into anybody while they're in the air. I know who you're talking about.
Okay. So when they go on strike, there's an issue about that. Many of them were fired. So then you put individuals in the tower who were very less trained, no experience. I mean, you're putting people's lives on the line at that point. And the reason why I brought that up is because when you look at where it in a lot of different things that were, well, you know what, we're willing to go ahead and sacrifice people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
We're willing to say government. We're willing to say, you know what? Well, we can't agree. So, hell, shut it down until we can fight it out.
Right.
And to me, I'm trying to understand, listeners, to all you folks that are listening, I'm trying to understand, this is the United States of America, allegedly. United States. This country is not united.
No.
Far from it. in my opinion.
Not like it used to be.
No, far from United. Go ahead, Janet. You were about to say.
No, I was just saying, you know, not like it used to be. I mean, it's like we got an election that's coming up, and, you know, you got still, like I said, a lot of false propaganda going around, you know, trying to tear Biden down, and you still can't find anything. But they're trying. They're trying. The ones they need to look at, what they're talking about is like pennies when it comes to Hunter Biden, the stuff that he did, and the money that he received. Two wrongs don't make a right. President Trump left office.
No, I wasn't talking to you. I'm sorry. I was talking to somebody else.
President Trump, Jared Kushner spent the last month before they left the White House going to Saudi Arabia making business deals. He came out with $2 billion in his pocket to start another business, to help his business. Mnuchin, same thing. He come out with $1 billion. We don't know what Trump got in the deal, but we know he got that deal with his golf club, his merger that they did. He got something out of that. But you still want to have him be president of the United States, knowing that he took important documents. When you leave, you're supposed to let the archives take the documents and sort them out. Anything that's classified, top secret, is not supposed to be kept. So are you still there? I just don't understand. Myself.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. You know what? I'm doing the show from out on my front porch, and so the ice cream man came down the street, so I'm trying to get something from him. Okay, but I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, started talking about that, but I wanted to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, because, you know, they already ousted the Speaker McCarthy from being Speaker of the House. And yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene, oh, Lord, she, I guess she's dissatisfied with Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, she did a motion. She filed a motion to oust Mike Johnson as the Speaker. Johnson has served as Speaker of the House for only 5 months. Green stopped short of forcing a vote to remove him, calling her motion a warning. So if he does anything with the Democrats, she's going to serve a motion to oust him when they don't even have anybody else. Who they want next? Mike Johnson, I think that's his name. But he's not a good speaker. You know, they could barely get anything out. They don't have any funding for Ukraine. They're not doing anything for the border, but all this is Biden's fault. They're not looking at themselves. They only think that this is going to hurt Joe Biden, but it's going to hurt the House. It's going to flip if they keep doing what they're doing. It'll go back to being for the Democrats. So you want the Democrats to have the House and the Senate? Be careful what you ask for and what you're doing can cause you to lose. And that's what I have to say about Marjorie Taylor Greene. But, you know, Johnson has only been there for 5 months as Speaker, you know, and for her to file a motion against him is not really going to help at all. You know, because he only served for 5 months, and it wasn't immediately clear how the House would react to her motion, which requires just a majority vote to remove the Speaker. Greene did not file the motion as privileged, which would force a vote within 2 legislative days, but instead as a regular motion, which could be referred to a committee where it would likely languish. She wants to just have that threat out there because she felt like she was there for McCarthy. She did all the things for McCarthy to help him out, and then they ousted him. And so I think she's kind of still salty from that. And she's going to, I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
So what you're saying, and so for me, it's interesting that where you bring in McCarthy, you don't like what he's doing to go against the Democrats. So you bring in another individual, don't like what he's doing now. Now you want to throw him out. I mean, what's really going on here with the whole Trump thing? See, and yes, I have to bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was going to be a certain way. But now with this whole new, agreement, in order for the government not to shut down, they're not happy with this agreement. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you said.
Correct.
Basically,
this last agreement. But that was to keep the lights back on.
Well, you said something earlier, or you told me, it's like a cult thing. Here's the thing I'm looking at, is that where, obviously you don't want your government to shut down. You don't want that, right? You don't want that.
Right.
You don't want the government to shut down. I work at a store. If the store shut down, you think that they're going to keep paying me?
Right. And Mike, how can Johnson do his job?
I just want to finish my whole thought here. I want to finish my whole thought here. Is that where we have to understand something. We vote for these people to hold these positions. And they all sit up here and they all debate and argue over what's best for us.
They're supposed to argue what's best for us.
Hold on. I'm not done. They're supposed to sit there and debate what is best for the American public while they are still having, keep in mind, great homes, not one, two. You got one in Washington. Got one in their home state. And then they want to say, if we can't agree, we'll just shut it down while they still get their paychecks. What the hell is wrong with our system is what I'm saying. Because I believe there's something really wrong. I believe there's something really wrong with our government.
It is.
I understand. You got to go by what the Constitution and what the forefathers said and everything. But, the forefathers didn't see the future. And apparently the future is different.
They want it to be different.
I'm saying what the forefathers, when they did and wrote the Constitution, wrote all that, the amendments and everything, they had no idea what the future would be. Follow what I mean? So there should be some amendments. There have been amendments. And I think that there should be some moving forward because it's not working, in my opinion. It's not working. Where individuals who have money can give a break to other individuals to make more money. You follow what this says?
Yeah.
Individuals who have money can give breaks to individuals who have money in order to make more money.
Money costs both good walks.
And the things that got me was that where there's that old adage or that old belief that Ronald Reagan made, which was trickle-down economics. Oh, if you give the rich people a break, the money will trickle down to the poor. Don't give me that middle class bullshit. Now, I don't know why they always talk about the middle class. What about the poor class? How about the people who are out here in the streets I see every day? Let's get the poor people off the streets. That's your threat. People crossing the border is your threat. Apparently, they're going to be poor because they ain't got no house when they come across the border. And think about that, too, Janet. You know, I kind of wonder about that. If a person crossing the border.
Migrant workers do the job that other people don't want, like working on farms,
yeah,
being janitors, you know. Somebody's got to do that job.
But the thing is that we're when it's and like Tyson said, someone from another country has never changed my life and my way of living. Tommy has said that more than once. And I have to be honest, I've never had an issue with someone or ever came into an issue where someone who crossed the border illegally affected my life. It's never affected me personally. Not saying it's right. I know there are laws for you listeners. But remember that this the West Coast was Mexico at one point. Okay? So let's not forget that.
Yes. Michael, can I finish the Margarita Green thing?
Yes, right ahead.
And then we can, you know, carry on. But I wanted to finish that, you know. So I just want to start again. This article was from NBC News. They said far-right representative Marjorie Taylor Greene on Friday filed a motion to oust Speaker Mike Johnson, doing so just as the House voted to avoid government shutdown. Johnson, a Republican from Louisiana, has served as Speaker for 5 months, having taken over Kevin McCarthy, who was ousted from the top under a similar process. It was immediately clear how the House would act to her motion, which requires just a majority vote to remove the Speaker Greene from The Speaker Greene, Republican of Georgia, did not file the motion as privileged, which would force a vote within 2 legislative days, but instead as regular motion, which could be referred to a committee where it would likely languish. Green told reporters that her motion to vacate was more of a warning than a pink slip, saying she does not want to throw the House into chaos like the 3.5 weeks that the chamber was without a speaker when McCarthy, her close ally, was ousted. I'm not saying that it won't happen in 2 weeks, or it won't happen in a month. Who knows when? But I'm saying the clock has started. It's time for our conference to choose a new speaker, she said. She also said that she had not discussed the motion with former President Donald Trump. Yeah, right. The House left the 2-week recess Friday and won't consider the motion until it returns. An official familiar with the process told NBC News it will return session April 9th. Raj, I don't understand this guy's name, Raja or something like that, a spokesperson for Johnson, said this is on governing. He will continue to push conservative legislation and secures our border, strengthens our national defense, and demonstrates how we'll grow our majority. Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida, who forced the vote to remove McCarthy as speaker, told reporters Thursday that he doesn't support a motion to vacate the chair and evict Johnson. If we vacate this speaker, we'll end up with a Democrat, Gaetz told reporters. When I vacated the last one, I made I couldn't make that promise again. Ask how that could happen, Gaetz said. We'd have Republicans cross over. I worry that we've got Republicans who would vote for Hakeem Jeffries at this point. I really do. I take no joy in saying that, but you can vacate the speaker if you know that the Democrat Party leadership won't change hands. I mean, sorry, that the party leadership won't change hands. I knew that. I don't know with certainty this time. Gates moved against McCarthy led the first time in the U.S. history that a House Speaker was removed in the middle of a session. It sparked weeks of chaos in the thin Republican majority as they scrambled to find a replacement before settling on Johnson. You know, so they're playing with fire. And you get burned when you play with fire. They got just a small, slim majority as it stands, and elections are coming up, and they're playing house. The house is going to be on fire because they're going to lose. They're going to lose, you know? All these hearings and everything that they're doing is not, I know a lot of people are not are really upset about it. Biden hasn't done anything, but people think they did. When you get somebody who has done good for the country and he's fighting tooth and nail all the way, that's how I feel. I feel this because I see when he's trying to push something through how it gets denied because they don't only want him to be a one-term president. You have to be careful. They wanted the same thing with Clinton. He ended up serving two terms. They did the same thing with Obama. He ended up serving two terms. And who knows, Biden might serve two terms again. That's all I have
you
to
know,
say.
Okay, so now that's an interesting point, is that on all three that you just mentioned, it was one-term president. Now, I mean, I appreciate you sharing the political field on that, and you definitely made it very clear. But you're right about that part, that all those presidents, Democratic presidents, were supposed to be one term, and they went beyond that, two terms.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, even though with Clinton and his whole impeachment thing and about the Monica Lewinsky thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She was a lot better. That was the bottom line. Some people argue and say that, well, when Donald Trump came into office, he made it better. How do you debate that? Because how did he make it better according to the Republican Party? Of him being strong and against this and, you know, the border and this and the other, because apparently
he didn't build the wall and
he
left the country with a deficit.
Just let me finish. The promises he made didn't come to pass. He says, I'm going to build a wall. Well, okay, we know that you can build hotels. But you didn't build a wall because if you look at the real truth about it, that a small percentage of the wall was built, a very small percentage. Okay, and let me finish what my point is, that where people thought that Donald Trump is going to build a wall, it's going to, you know, solve our problems. There are areas, okay, on the border where you can't build a freaking wall. You can't. How much is it going to cost? Never, you know, that was never addressed. There's a lot of things that Donald Trump, former president, running for, in fact, the of course, he's going to be the Democrat. But he made promises in the past as a president that he didn't, you know, make happen. Many presidents in the past have done the same thing. I'm going to be honest about that. But during his campaign trail now, I haven't heard anything about what he's going to really do other than what he's going through. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm not hearing anything what he's going to do for the country other than what he's going through. So everybody is told... What I'm saying is this, we are everybody, including his base, is being directed to his problems and not American problems or individuals' problems, the country's problems.
Mm-hmm.
World problems. He's not addressing that. So, how is it, or why do you think that folks are paying more attention to that more so than what should really be at? You know what I'm saying? What really should be the conversation? Because to me, I think they're drinking Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking, make him president again and then let him then address problems or issues.
When Donald Trump...
What I'm saying is this. Okay, I haven't heard him say what he's going to do to correct it. He is attacking the president of the United States right now of how he's handling, you know, the issues that are happening
right.
in America. Attacking the individuals who are taking him to court on his personal stuff. You follow me? Everything's about him. Okay, well, you're the front runner. Can you as front runner, meaning, you know, I'm kind of wondering the MAGA crowd and the people who support him, how come they're not asking him, what are you really going to do when we put you back in office? Damn your personal stuff. They believe he's going to be found not guilty. What are you going to do for the people? Meaning not just the MAGAs, but for people who don't like him or don't agree with him. He claims he's going to be the president, I guess, for everybody in the United States. Have you heard him say anything about that? Are you there, Janet? I don't know what happened.
I don't know either. That's twice.
On Blog Talk, I can barely hear you. Well, I'm looking at the board and all of a sudden all kinds of stuff just disappeared.
Yeah.
And then it came back. And now I see the chat room, which was, you know, it was there, and then all of a sudden it just went blank, and then it came back again. Wow, this is crazy. I need to call Blog Talk. Blog Talk is not open on the weekends. You can't call them.
No.
It won't be like, oh.
But I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, first of all, Trump calls the migrant people, he says some of them aren't even people. You know, what are they if they're not people?
And then he said
it was going to be a bloodbath if he doesn't defeat Joe Biden. He's already telling us that it's going to be war. He called it a bloodbath, even though they retracted it. He said it was going to be a bloodbath if he does not defeat Joe Biden.
But now, when I saw that, I had to go back and read it. Where bloodbath has two different meanings, but in my opinion, I know what the fuck he was talking about. Okay,
they say
you can't.
He's speaking
you can't
cold.
Open,
he speaks
okay?
in code.
Yeah. And okay, so let me say this. Hold on. I'm looking at in the chat room. Suzette is here, and I know that you
hey,
used your husband. And she says Biden-Harris administration approves additional $5.8 billion in student debt relief for 78,000 public service workers. Also, what about average students working 2 to 3 jobs to pay student loans, trying to eat and keep a roof over their head? Well, Suzette, you know, I kind of question that too. I think it's not right. I think it's wrong for that situation. But look at the fact that where, you know, what they're paying for housing. Do you know that a lot of corporations own the apartments or own the homes around certain college campuses? Here in Atlanta alone, over 19,000 homes in Atlanta alone, and I don't know about where you live, are owned by corporations. See, it used to be a time where a person owned or bought property, and they would, I have a friend in Birmingham who owns 8 properties, to be honest. You know, in Birmingham, oh, my God, I'll get into that conversation later. In the second hour, but corporations are buying up not just land to build buildings, they're buying homes. Think about that.
Yeah.
Buying homes, and they're raising the prices astronomically. Whether you want to rent it or buy it. And it's the same old-ass house that's been there for 50 years. And just because they put new floors, new appliances for rental properties, what used to cost a person $500 a month or $600 or $700 a month, it's $2,000 down there.
Mm-hmm.
$112,000, $160. What made this so expensive? It's the same damn dwelling it was 30, 40 years ago. You added some new appliances? Okay, cool. Glad that you updated it. But that shit you put in that damn house doesn't have that same value the moment you took it out that store. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Corporations are buying houses now and raising the prices of them for rental or purchase. I have a secret squirrel here. You know, and yes, I'm going to always use it. So if it's the same secret squirrel I had a couple weeks ago, I'm going to still call you a secret squirrel, okay? I don't change my, you know, the way I do, and you're not going to make me do it. But I see that you're waving your hand. So 111111111, I'm going to open up your mic and say hello and welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in, secret squirrel.
Thank you for taking my call, Mike. You may feel free to characterize me any way you wish on your show, but I'll have you know I'm anything but.
I say that to everybody, bro. If you call anybody, no, hold on. Let me clarify something. I get many other callers. You're not the only one that call in with a 111 number. I get it.
Skype.
So I call that, it's called a secret squirrel because you're not telling me, because everybody else pretty much have memorized many, not all of them, memorized their number. I know the area code and this and the other, right? I know who's calling me from Birmingham. I know who's listening right now from Birmingham. I know who's calling from California and the area. But when you cover for 111, you're a secret squirrel.
For years,
but go ahead, sir.
However, I am anything but secret. I'm out loud and proud. So, you know, like I said, your characterization is yours to make. Be my guest.
But it's not just you. It's all the 111 callers. It's been that way for years. Yes.
Generic.
Yeah, because he already knows.
Fine. Okay, clear that up. Let me attempt to clear up something. And let's talk particularly about the thing you just brought up about the boy. Now, this is what gets me about people pointing to an alleged failing of Donald Trump insofar as he didn't complete the border. And they say, well, it's going to shut him for a while. It didn't happen. Well, I got this. The border is 1,950 or so miles long, the southern, not the continental border, but the southern border. And much of that terrain is utterly inhospitable to foot traffic. Now, intrepid explorers who are skilled in mountaineering and traversing swamps and valleys, they can traverse it relatively quickly. But since it is so inhospitable to foot travel for the average or even fairly skilled person, there is no need to secure it with the wall. Like any other natural terrain obstacle, when you're defending a position, you use it to channelize and slow down your opposition. So there's no need for him to build a wall everywhere. Now, he did build 571 miles or restore 571 miles of the border. That's what he did do. Now, that is over 25% of the entire border wall. No one can tell me 25% of anything is an insignificant percentage. I mean, we're black people are 13% of the population of the United States. Nobody calls them an insignificant population. 25% of the border wall is significant. Now, part of the reason he didn't do more is because there were lawsuits involved in eminent domain and efforts by Obama-friendly judges to stop building the wall. So that was also an impediment to us finishing the wall. And part of the wall is stationing troops on the border, much of which was done by the nation of Mexico in response to Trump's veiled threat and carrots. He held out carrots and threats to the nation of Mexico. As a consequence, they put 20,000 of their own troops at their own expense on the border to curtail illegal immigration, and that also helped keep the numbers of illegal aliens relatively low during the Trump administration. Now, you're disregarding all of that in order to impugn his efforts in that regard, and that simply is not fair. I understand. And then when it comes to the bloodbath issue, the issue of the bloodbath, he was directly referring to the bloodbath in the automobile industry if cheap Chinese electrical vehicles stationed, headquartered, and manufactured in Mexico flooded the market of the United States.
Hold on, my brother. Okay, I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead.
No, come on now. You know it was. In fact, I'll give you the statement in context. It is clear the bloodbath that he's referring to had to do with the bloodbath of the automobile manufacturing industry should Chinese electrical vehicles, headquarters stationed and manufacturing in Mexico, be flooded into the American market. It would be a bloodbath of the American automobile industry. Now, that is clear as a bell. Now, I understand Donald Trump does say things that are easy for his enemies to distort and demagogue, but there's no excuse for that, leaving the context in which you said out. This is simply inexcusable and inaccurate reporting.
In the middle of this conversation, hold on a minute, Janet.
So you're trying to convince me. This is what
I'm
you're
not.
Trying
no, I'm not. I'm responding.
No.
I'm not trying to convince you at all.
No. So what you're telling me is that when Donald Trump said it's going to be a bloodbath, Can I finish, sir? So you're telling me that choice of word was chosen just by the fact that it could mean two different things. It could mean automotive industry, which how did that become part of the topic, to actual physical bloodbath, seeing that there's so much, you know, that's going on in the country of people that are threatening judges, that are threatening individuals on behalf of Donald Trump. That when you look at January the 6th and what happened, which it wasn't a bloodbath, but I'm thinking it's kind of like a warning that Donald Trump is saying, in my opinion, that if he is not elected as president, that the country or his MAGA group will go out here and do harm to folks. Are you telling me that that's not the alternative to the automotive industry of what he was saying in that comment, my friend?
Sir, I'm not a bit surprised that people are saying that about his comment, given the fact that they also said when he
come
told
on now, be realistic,
to
be
go
realistic,
peacefully
be realistic.
And patriotically to the Capitol on January 6th, that was actually a call for insurrection. So the fact that they are demagoguing the word bloodbath is absolutely no surprise to me whatsoever.
Okay.
Well, he added it
I
in
mean,
the
he
middle
doesn't have
of
to use the term. Go ahead, Janet.
In a sentence. He added it in the middle of a sentence. And as Cohen has said, and I know from following Trump for years before he even decided to be president, that he speaks in code. You got to read between lines. He shouldn't have put that in there. If he didn't want people to take him literally, he shouldn't have put it in there in the middle of a conversation talking about the auto industry and then saying if he don't get elected.
Okay, so hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Now, Janet, hold on a minute. I want you to remind people of some things about yourself. You're from New York, right? From Rochester, right?
For over 40 years.
Okay. So and how many presidents have you seen?
At least 13.
You sure? 13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sarge, have you seen 13 presidents?
Let me count. I really didn't become aware of the presidency overly much. So maybe Dwight Eisenhower and certainly John F. Kennedy. So, yeah, number one.
Okay.
John F. was number 35. So, yeah, that would make me about that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You live in where? Do you live upstate?
I live in Georgia.
In Georgia. Okay. So
I used to live in Illinois, but I couldn't stand living in that benighted state anymore. So I became an expatriate, and now I live in Georgia.
Okay, so is it safe for me to say that my co-host here, who lived more closer to New York than you and I have, I've never lived in New York. In fact, I've never been to New York in my lifetime. I'm from California. I'm from the West Coast. I've been in Georgia now, just like yourself. Is it safe to say that Janet would know more about Donald Trump's dealings before he became president, before he became the apprentice, before he, you know, all that stuff that we most people, I should say in general, come to find out him to be the apprentice, the show. By the way, which you really didn't see him much in the show. You saw all the contestants, which was a game show. Let's keep that in mind. It was a game show, in a sense. That she would know a little bit more about Donald Trump's dealings in the area that she lived in at that point in time. Wouldn't it be safe to say that?
That may or may not be true, depending upon the amount of
study. I ask you a question. Would it be safe to say that you're saying that
may
or may
not
be true?
It doesn't matter, Mike. I followed Donald Trump even before the Park Five when he tried to want the guys to be executed, how he left New Jersey with the them owing the casino, going bankrupt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before did he talk about blood transfer too?
No, but like Cohen says, Trump speaks in code, and he does. He don't come out and tell you what he wants. He talks in a most mafia people will, I guess. I don't know, but they say he speaks in code.
Peacefully and patriotically.
Excuse me. I don't want to mute anybody. I want everybody to have a chance to go ahead and speak. All I'm saying is that what Jan just said, you know, and mafia will speak code away. Donald Trump has been looked at like a mafia boss type individual by other individuals. Now, only thing I'm saying is that, but when you look at the fact of his past of business dealings, the man has, you know, done bankruptcy. Do you know now that there are individuals who are saying that with the situation that he's dealing with now, that might be one of his best choices? And there's concern as far as the money that he must pay. Now
where's
sorry, you can't ignore the fact that the clock is ticking. Let me finish. The clock is ticking. He has till Monday. Wouldn't you think it would be concern that an individual who's been the former president who claims and says to us, we should trust our adversaries, Russia, you know, that we're assisting, I mean, here we are assisting Ukraine, okay, and it's not just the Democrats, the Republicans agree to go ahead and assist them. But here's Russia. But then here's where, when it came to the election, and he claims that he asked Putin, did you have anything to do with this? He told me no, and I believe him. What kind of bullshit is that, man?
Wait a minute.
How where the president, the leader of North Korea is going to sit up here and say, he's going to say that, you know, he wrote me a love letter. A love letter? Something, man, come on now. Something in the buttermilk ain't clean. How all of a sudden, you know, we're just so chummy with people that have been our adversaries for decades. And all of a sudden, we're supposed to be. And then when you look at Russia and look at the people that are getting killed and die over there that are definitely against Putin, who, you know, he's been running the country and probably will run it until that is not a democracy. That is a dictatorship. That is totally against what America goes for or agrees with. But then we have a person that who are followers of this president or this former president and believes him and agrees basically with dictatorship countries. If he agrees with them and believes them, so do American people that follow him.
Okay. Are you through beating the horse now?
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm freaking wrong. You got the mic, my brother.
You're beating the hell out of this horse, aren't you?
Come on.
All right. Look, when it comes to politics and international negotiations and dealing. And by the way, Trump is not negotiating with Putin now. He has no authority to do it. That'd be a violation of the Hatch Act. But he's free to characterize what he believes that Vladimir Putin would do in response to his professed word. It may or may not be true, but he's certainly got a right to rely upon something of with whom he may be in a future negotiation with. Is going to do. Otherwise, there's no point in negotiating at all with any world leader. You never believe they're going to do anything that you don't believe after all. And as they signed a treaty with North Vietnam in 1973, North Vietnam pledged not to invade South Vietnam again so we could withdraw our troops from South Vietnam. 2 years later, they invaded South Vietnam and conquered. So you see, sometimes you got to try to accept the words of the other guy, even if they're going to break them. And the same thing with Donald Trump. Otherwise, there's no point in negotiating with anybody. Now, what is he supposed to say? Vladimir Putin never tells the truth, so therefore I will never negotiate with him? What are we going to do? You want to go to war with Russia? Because I don't. I definitely don't. What he does is leave an out for future negotiations by saying, I believe the man when he says a specific thing, not in every single thing he might utter, because it could be a total absolute lie. But in certain specific things, it is proper to say, in this regard, yes, I believe this man. I believe you. In other things, he might not ever do the thing he said. Depends. That's the purpose of negotiation. Not to make categorical statements that preclude all negotiation.
Janet, what's your response to Sarge's comment?
I was reading something. I was looking at where I was just thinking about Donald Trump. Didn't he just meet with somebody at Mar-a-Lago that was was it somebody from Hungary?
Viktor Orban, I believe he's the the prime minister of Hungary.
So prime minister. So I guess he's not president yet, but it's okay to meet with prime ministers of Hungary?
Yes, private citizens. He can meet with anybody he wants to, as long as you don't conduct international diplomacy, which is a violation of the law. He can meet with him. He can have him at his house. What, do you want to put him in jail for that?
No, but you don't know what
he's doing. Now, if there's evidence that he's conducting diplomacy, then he should be prosecuted.
Wait, Sarge, when he met with Putin.
Sarge, hold on, Sarge.
When he met with Putin. Excuse me, Mike. When he met with Putin in Helsinki and any other time he met with Putin, he didn't want anybody taking any notes or anything. It was all done in private. He's the first one of the presidents that nobody could know what he talked about. Why did it have to be such a secret?
Are you saying that every president who's ever negotiated with a foreign head of state has had that meeting transcribed? Because I know that's not true.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. Let's do our research here before you go any further. Now, that was something that was a topic or a conversation on all media of that, where he did have a private conversation and there was no one else in that room.
He made sure.
No.
When he came out and said that he had a talk with Putin at Helsinki and said that he told him he had nothing to do with the election of getting him nominated, then they asked Putin the same question, and he said, yes, I did. I'll never forget that because I sat up in bed. I could not believe
and Putin did
that
turn around and say, yes, he did. Right. That's right.
He helped. He said because he did not like Hillary Clinton. So, yes, he helped with the election. But Putin did say that never happened. And to be honest, hold on, Janet, hold your horses.
Put on the brakes. But that is documented. That is available. You can take a look at that. That is a response that Putin made, that he did do that after the fact. He did say that. So with that being said, what's your response to that, Sarge?
All right. I recall both the ambassador to the United States, I forget his name right now, and Vladimir Putin, both saying in the election, they preferred that Hillary Clinton would win the election because they believed she was a known quantity and they could reasonably predict what her actions would be based upon her past history and her inclination. They said with Donald Trump, he was unpredictable, and that unpredictability was a factor of him they were concerned with. They said that out loud.
Okay,
now,
so let me do
that. Michael. Michael, let me finish, please.
I'm listening to the statement.
I'm responding to the statement that presidents don't conduct negotiations in private with foreign heads of state. That's the response. That was what I was responding to. They do.
Okay.
They have.
All right. So the only reason why I'm saying is that we're because it's 7:29 or almost 7:29 now. I do have another topic I want to get to that's very important to me. So I'm just trying to speed up this one and close this one out. So I'm giving you the chance to go ahead. That's all I'm saying, okay? Go ahead and wrap it up with what you want to say on this particular political topic.
No, I just want to make it clear. I was responding to the statement that presidents never negotiate in private with foreign heads. They have and they do. And it's not unconstitutional or illegal for them to do so. A lot of people call it a gray area, but it's been done before. It will be done again. And no president has ever been prosecuted or impeached having a private negotiation with another head of state.
Okay.
They said private, but they said it was a private negotiation. But the thing is, they said they had somebody taking notes, but he refused to have anybody take any notes. With
to have that again,
All right, so we're going to take a break. You know, we could talk about this every week, all week long, okay? But right now, we're going to take a break because I'm going to shift gears. Okay? Topic I want to talk about. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and let everybody calm down. We got about 30 minutes left. I'm going to do a music break, and we're going to talk
I think the article, you should go on into that article because you don't have but 30 minutes left.
I'm going to take a music break because I have something I have to take care of, and then we'll be right back. We have time. Okay? No disrespect. But, we're going to take a quick 3-minute music break, let everybody take a little breath, and we'll be right back. Listen to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, from the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. And we'll be right back.
That you will see that I'm in love with you and giving you the best.
King with that part of me. You know, me and AK have a really strange friendship. We get on each other's nerves from time to time, but I have to give that brother a lot of credit because he puts together some great music. Check him out. Go ahead and go to YouTube and check out Anthony AK King. Great music. All right, so we're back, and we're going to change topics real quick. By the way, I'm sitting outdoors, and so if you hear some noise in the background, I apologize, but I'm going to probably go indoors because somebody decided to start their car. So we're back. Janet, pull it up on your end, too. I'm pulling up on my end, and I'm going to try to really get this in real quickly. So this past week was my, what they call, a Zedium birthday, meaning the last two digits of your birth year and your birth date. Or I'm sorry, your birthday.
Your birthday.
To make it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Birthday. Okay, to make it simple, I was born in 1962. I just turned 62 this past Tuesday. So that's called a... Zedian, I think I'm pronouncing it right, birthday. So anyone that was born in 1980, when they turn 80, that would be their Zedian birthday. If they were born in 1990, when they turn 90, that would be their Zedian birthday. Okay, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I don't know if people who were born in 1990 will live to be 90 years old. But according to what the CDC says, that the average life expectancy is around 77, 78 years old, right? So that's what I dealt with. But when I went on vacation and went to visit some friends in Birmingham, Alabama, I hung out with a friend of mine, and there was a person who, oh, my God, painted many, many, many years ago, okay, the interior of the home. His wife passed away, and his stepdaughter, I should say, has control over his finances. Hadn't seen this individual in many, many years, and my friend that lives in Birmingham said, hey, you know, we're in this area where, Pete lives. So I'm like, oh, Pete. I said, okay. Knock on the door. Pete didn't answer. The neighbor across the street said, oh, yeah, Pete still lives there. That whole street bears like maybe 12 houses on this street, 10 to 12. Guy that lives in one home owns every house on this street except for two. One burnt out. That's one he don't own, and the other one is Pete's home. And so the neighbor across the street said, okay, well, we're going to keep trying to call him. We didn't have a number or anything. Finally, Pete comes to the door, and we go inside. And I'm going to tell you guys, it was the most heartbreaking moment I have ever seen in my life, because there was feces throughout the house. Not just from Pete, but from the dog that he has. This man is in a mobile wheelchair. His bathroom is dilapidated at the point where you go in the bathroom and I don't know if a tree fell on it, something happened. You can see a tarp on top of the roof that is a tarp. You can tell that it's been there for years. Daylight is coming through the ceiling. The tub is just, you know, it hasn't been used. This is the situation this man is living in, or this is the condition this man is living in. Okay. The smell of urine, the smell of urine and the smell of feces is overwhelming. Now, from my understanding, Pete's deceased wife, okay, his deceased wife her daughter had control of his money. And she has control of his money, and the only thing that was just amazing to me is that he's still alive. But she's getting his check while he's living in feces, dog feces, his feces, inside of this house. And that hurt my heart so damn bad. My friend Rob owns 8 properties. Had to get him out of there. Fast forward, I come across a story about a mother and father who allowed their own daughter to sleep in her own feces in the living room on a sofa. Janet, you have the story up?
Yeah. I'm sorry. You can tell me to put it up. I'll pull it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, please.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now. Sorry about that. I didn't know where you were going.
I'm going to put myself on mute while you read the story for everybody to hear and get an understanding. This is not something that just, you know, just happens, you know, here and there. It's happening everywhere. And when you get a chance, please go ahead and read it.
Yeah. Is that about the girl that was laying on the couch?
Yes.
Okay. I can't remember. Right here. Okay. It's coming up.
Okay. But you guys, I'm the reason why I want to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reason why I want to talk about this, because we have to pay more attention of what's happening with people. So go ahead and read the story, please, Janet.
Yeah. Parents of Lacey Fletcher, who melted into couch covered in maggots, discovered their fate over her death. Sheila and Clay Fletcher have received a 40-year sentence after pleading no contest to manslaughter charges for the death of their 36-year-old daughter, Lacey Allen Fletcher. The parents of a woman whose emancipated body was found melted into their feces-covered sofa have received 40-year sentence. She was found dead, rotting and fused with her family's couch on January the 3rd, 2022. Her parents, Sheila and Clay Fletcher, both of East Feliciana, Louisiana, were accused of neglect after their daughter, who suffered from locked-in syndrome, was reportedly on the autism spectrum, was found covered in urine and liquid feces. Maggots were found crawling on her body after invading the couch, which had begun to sink into the floor of the family's living room. The woman's parents lent their fate on Wednesday after pleading no contest to manslaughter. The judge ordered them to serve 20 years suspended with 5 years supervised probation by entering a no contest plea to manslaughter. It means the parents are not contesting the charge, but are accepting it. Sheila and Clay are initially charged with second-degree murder, but those charges were later reduced to manslaughter after the judge ruled that they had been incorrectly charged at first, citing some wording issues. When the victim's body was found, the coroner said she was in a horrific condition with the rotted skin and her bones exposed. Jesus. The judge, wait a minute. I'm sorry, but bones is bones. It was also established that the starvation was one of the main causes of her death. West Felicia District Attorney Sam DeQuala said, "You know, you wouldn't treat your animals like that. if you had a horse that was in a stall behind your house, you would go back there and the flesh is just gone from its body. You would see bones exposed. I mean, you wouldn't even treat your animals like that. The attorney pushed for a maximum sentence in their case. As he said, they would send a message adding, "We want to stand for people who can't speak for themselves," to say this treatment will not be tolerated. Footage obtained by CBS affiliate WAFB TV today shows correction officers escorting the two parents dressed in orange prison jumpsuits out of the courthouse in handcuffs. I mean, they found her body rotted to the couch, and the fibers of the couch had got entangled in her flesh, and she had maggots crawling all over her. She had lost weight. She was down to 90 pounds. People hadn't seen her for, you know, from the time she was 16, and now she's 26, so for 10 years, they didn't see her. And her parents claimed because she was had this disease where she was supposed to be rigid and couldn't talk or anything, she refused to eat. But I guess they had to feed her. I mean, she was down in, to skin and bones, but they had to have fed her at one point.
Okay,
for her to last as long as she did.
So here's the thing now, if you guys that are listening. I just told you I went over to Birmingham and saw an individual who is possibly on that same path. Because, see, like I said, this individual lives in this house, and I'm seeing where the dog lives in the house and everything, and the stepdaughter is taking his check. She lives in a $300,000 home. I saw the house.
But she's not taking care of him.
Let me finish. We went by her house, saw the neighborhood and the location that she lives in, and she's allowing her stepfather to live in this condition. And then when I saw that, and then to come back in less than a few days, I'm reading this story that Janet just shared with you, because I shared it with Janet, and she went into finding out more about it. How the hell can someone not notice something is not right here? How the hell that this young lady, as Janet just read, just comes up missing to people? They don't recognize or notice that, you know what, I haven't seen so-and-so in a minute. How the hell does that happen? Just recently, I said on the show, you guys, just a few weeks ago, about the 5-year-old girl who came up missing, and it took 2 years for someone to question it. 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
2 fucking years, you guys. Come on now. We got school shootings going on. We got people being murdered in school shootings going on a regular basis. Oh, it's that kid had a mental problem. What about these people who were killing their own family members? And then, you know, and they're hiding them. And by the way, that story right there, that was from a little small town outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that has a population of maybe 100 people. But we want to talk about immigrants crossing the border and all that shit. What about people who live right here in the United States of fucking America murdering their own family members? When are we going to talk about that? When will the people who make the laws address what happens right here at home. As Timon said, and Timon, I wish he was here on the show, somebody crossing the border has not stopped me from doing what I have to do. Shit, many of them cross the border and do the work that many of you all will not do.
Well, I said that too today. Yeah. And that's
will
true.
Not do and can't do. See, keep in mind of what they're trying to put your mind into. The worry and concern about the unknown immigrant, the unknown migrant, or whatever you want to call it, and everything. Coming over here, taking your jobs, this, that, and the other. No, they're doing the shit you don't want to do. But can't we, you know, start looking at what's really happening in our own backyard first? I understand. There's a concern. And keep in mind that everybody that crossed the southern border is not crossing it just from Mexico. They're crossing it from Venezuela, Africa.
Yeah, they're coming through Mexico. Yeah.
Russia. You know, every damn country you can name, if they got the money, if they know that's a porous border, don't blame it on just Mexico alone.
What
or saying
they say,
it's just
give me your poor, give me your...
Hold on, Janet. Let me just finish my spiel here. The whole thing is that we're, you know, murders and unspeakable crimes are being done right here. But y'all don't want to pay attention to it. Y'all don't want to think about it. The heinous, unthoughtful crimes. Janet, you said that the woman was in a hole.
The cops had, they took and put, I think they started the hole for her to make a potty for her to be able to go to the bathroom. But if you're not emptying the potty or doing what you need to do, then that's cruel, you know,
Apparently not. Apparently they weren't doing that. Apparently they didn't give a shit. And not to be, I'm not trying, you know, no pun intended. But apparently they didn't give a shit about her.
Well,
they let her sit in her own feces. The bottom line is that it's a sad story, but we need to start looking at the fact of there are a lot of crimes happening here. They're trying to, within our own society in America, but then now the media and not just the media, politicians are now getting into being the media and saying that, oh, well, this guy came over here, he's an immigrant, and he murdered a girl. No, I'm going to say it again. We talked about this last week. I'm going to say it again so people don't get me wrong.
And then I want to say something.
Okay, but let me finish my spiel.
Mm-hmm.
We got a few minutes. The thing is that where you have to remember that where that was one incident that they are trying to blow up, but how come they don't talk about the ones you just heard about? How come you don't see that nationally? And what we do to each other. Family, this was a mother
and father. Well, I can explain it somewhat.
That. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We got 2 minutes, and then Janet is going to make a point. In fact, we have 7 minutes, by the way. Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
make it a minute, please.
I try to make this thing. Now, I'm somewhat at a loss to explain the connection between unmitigated, unregulated, unprecedented levels of illegal immigration with no vetting for people who may or may not be hideously murderous criminals and people who, in the privacy of their home, neglect and abuse someone whom they have a responsibility to care for I don't see how the two compute. However, I would say that, you know, the only question I have is, was there any reason to believe that the authorities should have been aware of what was going on? Because under our Fourth Amendment, the authorities cannot enter a home unreasonably or without a warrant. So on what basis?
It's not
got
to be a warrant, sir. It doesn't have to be a warrant. It doesn't have to be a warrant.
Okay. And
the thing is that I'm gonna have to mute you on this because I'm down to a few minutes and I have to let Janet respond because it's called a welfare check. There's no way in hell that if my next door neighbor and I see a person there and they're like, oh, they went on vacation or whatever. Okay. And if you see anything that's suspicious, you know, of anything, a lot of folks be like, you know, I ain't got nothing to do with them. But maybe it could be happening in your neighborhood. Granted, you should stay to your own and not get in other people's business. I agree with that. But if you know, and according to the story, if you read it and if you look it up, you'll see that they will do events and everything, and people will come to the house, okay, and have folks
knew.
Over.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
But they never knew. They never knew that daughter was like that in a room. You know, they
mm-hmm.
thought they were nice couples, quiet, easygoing, you know. But I just wanted to repeat something that I know from being in New York, the Statue of Liberty, the saying that's on the Statue of Liberty, a lot of people take that to heart. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, anxious, tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door, the Statue of Liberty, Island Foundation. That's the word they have written on the bottom of the statue.
Right,
and
right,
people
right.
take that to heart. So they come here. And a lot of them want the freedom. They want to be able to, they think this is a get rich place. So they're coming here.
Okay. All right, so we got 3 minutes left and I believe that let's see, hold on a minute here. We got 3 minutes
But the lady
in
died.
1 minute,
right?
If you don't,
and they didn't even bury her.
We got three minutes. I have to go ahead and let Sarge go ahead and say his last comment in 1 minute, Sarge, please.
All right, that poem by Emily Lazarus is not the policy of the United States. That varies from time to time depending on legislative activity. And the current state of the legislative activity is that the President of the United States is not supposed to be allowed to abuse the parole process into the United States, which he is coming in, to ensure they are vetted before they are allowed to be paroled into the United States. It is an abuse of authority, no matter what Emily Lazarus said in a poem. And as far as these people and this unfortunate woman who was abused apparently by people with the obligation to care for her, all I want to know is this. Did anyone, because it is not routine for law enforcement or government to do welfare checks. There are too many people. It is impossible to assume everyone needs a welfare check.
I have only 90 seconds, and I have to use that to close out the show. And I'm sorry, Sarge, no disrespect. But, hey, thank you guys so much for tuning in this Saturday. You know, I love and appreciate when you guys can tune in. I see some folks on the board, some in the chat room. Sorry I didn't get to all the chat room comments, but you know, we're here every Saturday, and we're going to have a lot of great conversations and topics. We will go forward with this story here. Sarge, of course, you're always invited to chime in and share your opinion. I got to get out of here. Happy Saturday on this 23rd day of March. We're about to go into April. Time flies. Hey, you've been listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We out of here. We'll see you next week. God bless and peace.